Hey, welcome back everyone to the channel. If you don't know by now, I am on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and a few others. The information will be down in the description box down below if you want to fall asleep with me tonight. Now, for tonight's video, we have three college students that are at this local diner, and they happen to see something in the tree line move in the distance. What they see and what they experience will terrify you. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. I've changed names for obvious reasons, so I'm going to call myself Alice. I've been studying at the University of Michigan for the past 3 years, and let's just say there are some weird people in my dorm. Sweaty, unshowered boys who love telling one another ghost stories and lazy creepypastas. It's like living on a real-life Reddit forum, if you could imagine such horror. And every night, when I'm trying to cook dinner in the communal area, one of them is always pestering me with the tale of some terrible thing that they read online or something their friends saw in the woods. I wish I had simply gone along with whatever they had told me, because it was my skepticism that nearly cost my life. If I had simply nodded my head and politely smiled at Tom's story of the Michigan Dogman, perhaps I wouldn't have experienced the most horrifying spectacle of my young life. Perhaps I'd still be rolling my eyes at their crude campfire tales and living a life of beautiful bliss. Ignorance is a blessing that I had never truly valued before. I do now. But you can't put the genie back in the bottle. But once you've seen what I've seen, the world looks different, darker, more dismal. You don't believe me, do you? Tom scoffed. I'm just busy, Tom, I sighed. I want to cook my pasta and eat in peace. It's been a long day and I've got assignments due and... Did you tell her? Mick asked, barging into both the room and the conversation. I told her, Tom said. I was riveted. I groaned. He's not bullshitting you, Alice, Mick insisted. You know the diner we talked about, right? I know the diner. I've eaten there plenty of times, I said. Right, well, this guy on 4chan talked about seeing some freaky crap there, Mick explained. Twisted, unexplainable crap. He saw a beast in the woods, gangly limbs, hairy face, and human torso. It was him, the man of the dog. Do you mean the dog man? I said. Man of the dog sounds cooler, Tom explained. It really doesn't, I said. It's lure that Sammy has been putting together, Mick explained. He thinks that every sighting of the dog man is actually a different person who has been foolish enough to sell their soul to the dog. Not an actual dog, of course. An unearthly thing. An ancient creature that claims the bodies and minds of its victims. Men of the dog, we call them. Men of the dog, Tom monotonously agreed, nodding. You guys are so frickin' dumb, I sighed. Isn't the Dogman just Michigan's attempt to create its own werewolf? It's our version of Bigfoot, right? It's just another dumb tourist trap. That's what I used to think, Tom said, but then I saw it. He saw it, Alice, Mick reiterated. Oh, for heaven's sake, just tell me what you saw. Stop beating around the bush, I moaned, trying to focus on my boiling pasta. I went to the diner and sat there for an hour, watching the woodland on the other side of the road. While I was eating, I saw the creature. A vile thing, 10 feet tall, coated in thick, matted brown fur, sharp teeth, devastating eyes, and it looked right at me, Tom said, shuddering. Why is it so hard for you to believe? I'm going with Tom to see it for myself tomorrow, Mick announced. Why don't you come with us? I told you that I have to finish my assignments, I sighed. What makes you think I have time for that? I'll pay for your meal, Mick replied. I'm infuriated to admit that his offer was sufficient to sway me. Embarrassing and shameful, I know. But student life is no walk in the park. As if the exams and assignments weren't torturous enough, the cost of living piles additional unnecessary strain onto the experience. The prospect of a free meal in a diner, even if it did have strings attached, was far too tantalizing to pass up. I couldn't say no. I wish that I had. Hopefully, this story should detour any other idiots from pursuing things that humans are not supposed to pursue. The following evening, the three of us piled into Tom's car and went on our little road trip. Look, I don't mind the boys themselves. They were all right. Good-looking and nice enough. I know some of you might think that I had been mean in the kitchen the night before our little excursion. But you have to put yourselves in my shoes. These two guys were dangerously obsessed with this topic. Whenever they talked about the Dogman, their eyes glazed over as if they were hypnotized by it. It frightened me. When you add that to the stress of endless university assignments and deadlines, it's understandable that I might feel a little on edge whenever they disturbed my peaceful evenings. It's worth it for the free food, Alice, I told myself. We sat at the diner for a good hour, nursing our food and drinks. The waitress scolded us a few times. She was the only person on shift, and there was nobody else in that dilapidated 50s-themed diner at the time of night. She would have probably closed up if we had gone home. Is there anything else I could get you? She pointedly asked. No, thank you, Tom said, smiling. This burger is delicious. Probably cold, she muttered, storming off. Mick smirked. I think she likes you. Guys, don't be dicks, I said. Look, I finished my meal and I really need to get back, so... Just a little longer, Tom pleaded. It's still early for the Dogman. That's why he hasn't showed his face yet. It's 10:07 in the evening, I groaned, showing him my phone screen. Can we just let this waitress close up? I think she heard me because she gave me a slight smile. A sympathizing smile. She could see that I was trapped in that diner with the two frustrating boys, too. I silently mouthed that I was so sorry, and she nodded her head acceptingly before making an announcement. I shut up shop at 10:30, she said. If you want to order anything else, please do so in the next 5 minutes, okay? I'm so sorry about these two, I gushed apologetically. Holy crap, Mick cried, passing his binoculars to Tom. I just saw the turd. Are you sure? Tom gasped, looking through them. I gazed at the tree line, no more than 30 yards from where we were sitting. I had originally felt safe at the thought of the glass wall, a car park, and a main road sitting between me and whatever lurked in that forest. Something about signs of civilization makes a person feel a little safer from the unknown horrors of the world, right? But as I saw a faint shadow moving between the trees and rustling the bushes, I no longer felt safe at all. Okay, I saw it, I said shakingly. Can we go back to the dorm now? Screw that, Tom said, leaping to his feet. Only got a glimpse of him last time, and I have to see his face properly. I'm not letting this bastard slip away from me again. What are you saying? I timidly asked. I think you know what I'm saying, Tom replied. Eyes swimming with tears, I shook my head feverishly. Nope, we're not going in there. Screw that noise. I'll pay for my meal if I have to get out of this contract. Mick rolled his eyes. It's not a contract, Alice. Don't be like that. I don't mind paying for your meal, and you could just wait for us with the diner lady. What? The whole point of this was that you wanted to show Alice the Dogman is real, Tom cried. Besides, we're leaving. The diner's closing up. The waitress didn't need to be told twice. She scurried around, collecting her things, and slowly shooing us off the premises. And as she did so, I continued to protest with the two boys. Well, mainly Tom. Mick was a little more lenient. Perhaps his obsession with the Dogman wasn't quite as maddeningly deranged. Come on, Tom, Mick pleaded. Just unlock the car and let her wait in there. Tom sighed. Okay, Alice, do you want to wait in the car? Very much so, I cried. We were standing outside the diner, and the waitress was locking up behind us, trying her best to ignore us. Tom pulled his car keys from out of his pocket. He stretched out his palm towards me, and I desperately reached towards the keys. Then suddenly, he closed his fingers. My dorm mate smiled wickedly. This is what I meant when I said I didn't like these two boys, because whenever they were fixated on topics of boogeyman and beasts in the forests, it changed them. If you could find the keys, you could wait in the car, Tom said. Before I had a chance to figure out what he meant, Tom made his twisted game abundantly clear to me. The barbarous boy ran into the middle of the road and launched the car keys beyond the tree line. I screamed, and even Mick gasped in horror.
You frickin' idiot, he groaned. Why would you do that? Now we have to fish around in the mud for them.
Tom smiled, leading the way into the forest. I guess we have to go searching for the man of dog now, huh? Laughing like a deranged lunatic, he disappeared behind the tree line, and then he shouted back to us.
Found the keys already, he laughed. You'll have to catch me if you want them.
Mick turned to cast me a disparaging look. I think he was silently apologizing for his friend. I never said it aloud. He was probably feeling too guilty to say anything. Teenage boys aren't very good at apologizing for things, in my experience. But that's okay. Sometimes eyes say enough. I think Mick could see how scared I looked and possibly realized that the two of them had gone too far. The night wasn't supposed to be like this, he mumbled to me, trudging towards the trees. It was supposed to be fun. I didn't say anything. I simply followed Mick into the thick woodland of the Dogman. I won't tell you the name of the diner or the piece of woodland in question. This isn't an exciting fable for any excitable cryptid hunters out there. This is a cautionary tale, a warning about what happens when you look for ghoulish things that aren't quite as fun as they might seem in stories. Mick, who was walking a few feet ahead of me and lighting the way with his phone, was starting to realize that. Tom, on the other hand, well, we had lost Tom.
Where are you, dickhead?
Mick shouted into the forest. There was no reply. We continued to weave between tall, blackened trees. The deeper we plunged into the woods, the more reliant we became on Mick's light. Every distant snap of twigs and forest undergrowth terrified me. Mick would shout more fervently for his friend, but I found myself wanting to tell him to shut the F up. I wasn't sure what shadowy thing we had seen in that forest while we were sitting at the diner. I just knew that it hadn't been a figment of my imagination, and I was absolutely certain that it was the thing I could hear in the distance. Moreover, with the passing minute that we couldn't find Tom, it more deeply affirmed my suspicion that something was actually out there. Had it already caught Tom? Was it stalking us? Those are the incessant questions that were endlessly floating around my head. I had never been so scared in my entire life, but that would change before the night had ended. A wolf howl disturbed the silent night.
What the F was that?
Mick whimpered. I didn't respond. Tears were flowing down my cheeks in thick streams. I resolved that I wouldn't be speaking to Tom ever again after that night. Mick had stayed by my side, at least, and he had tried to look after me. I was giving him a pass, but Tom, I was ready to murder Tom.
Boo!
Mick and I screeched at the top of our lungs, at the sight of our elusive friend emerging from behind a tree, cackling until tears had formed in his eyes. I felt a mixture of emotions, relief in that it wasn't a dogman, fury at Tom for putting us through that nightmare, and fear of whatever else might be out there.
Have you seen it, then? Mick whispered. Can we go home now?
Tom mimicked a wolf howl, then he snorted.
That was all me, I'm afraid, so no. Are you sure you saw the man and the dog out here, Mick? I haven't seen crap. I'm a bit disappointed.
I saw him in the tree line. Maybe we've gone too far, Mick suggested. Tom chuckled. Somebody's scared, huh?
Not at all, Mick insisted. Just let's head back. Maybe we could see the dog man back towards the diner.
Man of dog, Tom corrected. Man of dog, Mick begrudgingly corrected himself. We strolled through the forest silently. I wanted to scream at Tom and tell him how much of an a-hole he has been, but I knew that could wait. I just wanted to get home, I just wanted to be wrapped up under my duvet, far from the horrors of the Michigan woodland. A wolf howled. Tom hadn't uttered a sound. The noise had come from far away, and it was different this time. A longer, louder, and more piercing sound. The type of sound that could chill a person through to the bone, and it certainly did just that. "We're close," Tom excitedly cried. He started to run, and we followed.
"Wait," Mick pleaded. "Tom, I don't like this."
The night enveloped us, and we stumbled through outlines of tall trees. I was scarcely able to see anything but the faint outline of a well-lit main road that taunted us in the near distance. We were close to the diner, close to civilization, close to the car. I started to run faster than Mick, and he started to plead with me to slow down too. I didn't listen. I didn't care about any dog man, man of dog, or whatever else Tom wanted to call the beast. "It's just a wolf," I told myself. "It's just a wolf, and it'll leave you alone. Just go to the car, get home." When we found Tom, he was standing at the edge of the tree line, looking out at the diner. He was frozen to the spot. I was about to ask what he was doing, but my eyes answered the question for me. In the car park of the closed, lightless diner, I saw the waitress's car. She hadn't left. Her front door was wide open, and a blood trail led from her vehicle to the spot in the middle of the tarmac. There, towering taller than any man on earth, with a hairy demonic creature that I forever will see in the back of my mind, whether I'm awake or asleep. He looked almost human. Almost. And that, I think, is what made him more terrifying than any other cryptid I'd ever seen in pictures or heard described in tales. I think Tom and Mick were right. I think this creature used to be a person. Somebody's son or father, perhaps. It used to be someone. Maybe someone good. But that certainly wasn't the case anymore. Now, it was an unholy abomination, lifting its meal into the air. Its meal, in this case, being the waitress. Her mangled, writhing body was clinging to its final moments of life. She was shaking violently as the creature took a large bite out of her torso. I didn't think she even had the life left in her to scream. Then, she stopped moving. The dogman feasted upon her carcass, greedily tearing through the fabric of her clothing to reach the succulent meal beneath. The three of us silently watched. I think we would have been its next meal. I can't see how we would have made it past the creature and into Tom's car without being seen. The thing that saved us was a car on the main road. As it approached, the sound of the engine must have scared the inhuman creature. It fled, taking its meal with it, and disappearing behind the diner, possibly finding a hiding spot in some other wooded area. I'm so thankful it didn't come our way, and yet the three of us did not leave the scene unscathed. We don't talk anymore. We just silently go about our days, pretending that we didn't witness what we witnessed. I think that we all hoped that it was just a dream, a group nightmare perhaps. And in some futile way, I suppose I believed that if we didn't talk about it, maybe that means I could fool myself into believing that it didn't happen. We didn't even make eye contact anymore. I struggled to even act normally around my friends. I think this will affect me for the rest of my life. How could I possibly ever move past it? Maybe these are a common coping mechanism with shared trauma, but I have no idea because there's no way I could ever explain to a therapist what I experienced, is there? They wouldn't believe me. They'd probably have me committed. So, other than telling you what happened, I've kept it to myself. And I'll continue keeping it to myself. I'll continue convincing myself that it was all a terrible dream. But I know it really happened. And I know the dog man is real. And I know that nobody should go looking for it. Ever.